Hello and welcome to another installment of Casual Trekker. This is Scott. This is going to be my reaction to the overall series on Peacock called Paul T. Goldman. And I gotta say, when I first saw it on the Peacock screen, I'm like, what the devil is this about? And I saw the preview thing and I was like, this is kind of like the Blair Witch Project, where they tell you they're real people, but they're really not, and it's like an alternative reality thing that's really fictional, but they're pretending like it's real. But apparently, it's really real. This dude had this happen to him. So, the overall story arc for the season, spoilers, by the way, there's 6 episodes. And the first 2.5 are really good. Okay, what's going on here? Wow, all this stuff is really happening. Cool. Then the middle part's a little slow. It starts to lag a little bit. You're kind of like this could have been cut out. This was not necessary to anything. It doesn't add in either respect to either of the continuities that we're following. I'll explain what I mean by continuity in a minute. But then after that little lag, it got right back into gear. And it kind of switched to a different way of looking at things. The first part was looking at it one specific way. Then after that part, it started looking at it a different way. And I appreciated that. So, what do I mean by the different perspectives? Well, this is a movie inside of a TV show. So, they made a movie, I guess, that he got to see screened. But they also made the show that you watch on Peacock. The movie, I don't think you can see anywhere. I think it's a separate entity all in itself, but it contains all of the bits and pieces that you see in the TV show, just condensed into a one linear product, I think is pretty much where that's at. So we're seeing 6 episodes where he went into a theater and just saw a streamlined version of that. So we get 2 ways of seeing this. One, we get to see this guy who is playing himself. So he's playing himself like 10, 15 years younger. And apparently he wrote the script. He got in contact with a lot of directors. He basically just messaged every single last one of them on all the different ways that you can contact people via social network. And this guy got back to him. Apparently this has been going, this movie took 10 years to make. I don't know how true that is. But it starts out, remember, spoilers. So if you haven't watched the show or you want to see it before you listen to this, then definitely want to jump off, because it's hard to talk about the show without spoilers. So I'm just going to go full spoiler. Now, I don't remember all the names of the people. I remember the events. I remember what they did. It's just this person's name and that person's name. That stuff's going to elude me. But, so, Paul's main situation in this thing is that his wife, second wife, is a madam. She has this hooker ring. And so he starts going on this hunt for all this different evidence that'll prove his case. And he's finding these bits and pieces that fit his narrative of what he thinks is the case. Like, he went through some guy's garbage, found some pictures, found some documents, and he was able to wrap that into this idea. And along the way of that, he was talking to like a psychic person, and she put him down this road onto certain things. And then, so we're seeing it happen in real time while he's talking about it happening historically. So, like, for instance, they'll be at dinner, the Paul T. Goldman and like his wife, but the wife's played by an actress. And so you'll start seeing them interact with each other. Then the very next shot, the camera angle will be from behind the other camera, and you're gonna see the set. And so it plays like Saturday Night Live sketch. like where the audience is in the back and they're able to see all the cameras and stuff in the set pieces. It plays just like that for the whole duration of the movie. So you'll see the scene being shot, the actors interacting with each other, and then you'll go from behind the scenes, and then you'll see him redo stuff. He'll talk to the camera. He'll explain certain things. The director will ask him questions about what they're doing. One key point in one of the episodes, he goes to an adult movie store because the psychic person told him that not only is she doing what he suspects, but she also did porn. And she used her first name, Audrey, which was changed. But then later on in the special, they just used her actual name. So kind of makes no sense to me on that, why they changed the name in that just to reveal it later. But who am I to judge? So he goes into the porn shop and it's playing like a real scene. Then we cut to the behind the scenes where the director comes up and says, "Are you sure you didn't mention the name first?" And she was just giving you a hard time. And then they play it again like that. So you get to see two ways that the thing is shot inside of the episode and not like a bonus thing on the DVD or something. And that plays out for the duration of these six episodes. We get to see, there's one part, well, I'm not gonna ruin the kind of shock value, but he has a scene with a particular individual, and then come to find out there's somebody watching this scene that relates to that. And I'm like, oh man, that would have either been awkward as hell or could have blown up quick, because the scene is supposed to be detailing an actual event that that person was keenly aware of. And he was doing the lines with this person, and she was watching an event that he's putting out there for the world to see. So I was like, when I saw that, I'm like, whoa, that takes some balls right there. But so to sum up the show, I would say it's an interesting watch. It's not something where you would be standing around the water cooler talking about it later, but it's one of those, oh, that's clever. Like there's spots in it where you'll see some actual filmmaking happening. Like they weren't just playing around with the camera and doing this stuff on different takes. It was the take that you're watching. So, sorry about that. Should have turned my phone on mute. So, back to what I was saying. Like, you'll see them with the camera following them, and then you'll see the dude with the snow blower thing blowing snow inside the frame. Those parts are really awesome, because it shows you how they actually shot the scene and how the blocking worked out and all this stuff. Keep in mind, this guy is supposed to be like just a regular dude, and they got him to film this stuff about his life, and everyone else around him is being portrayed by actors and actresses and all that stuff. There is a part where it gets a little too much for what it needed to be. It goes off into his son's chronicles and stuff, where his son has a part. He's kind of like trying to do like a Marvel Cinematic Universe type deal with him as a character, basing his spin-off show that's fictional to his real life event, but using bits and pieces of the real life stuff to kind of have a jumping off part where it goes off into fiction. But then that jumping off part for his Paul T. Goldman, The Chronicles, was all fiction. And So when the director confronted him, he was like really apprehensive and like, maybe it's true. That would be devastating because I have this whole entire thing that I'm filming. And then there's one part that was really creepy. I'm not going to say what it is, but when you see it, you'll know. I'm like, is that a crime, what he did? It can't be legal, especially when you're mentioning it on this thing, but people are going to be watching. It's on Peacock. It's not on some kind of obscure thing. I mean, maybe the statute of limitations is up on it. Possibly. But I was just like, wow, he did that. But the first part of the show, his wife's a hooker. She has madams. She has a pimp. She's paying X amount of money for this stuff. He has girls that she's hanging out with, and they're at the park praying for tricks. And then at the last half of it, he starts getting confronted with facts that don't fit his narrative of what he thinks it is. But when the person playing Rocco, her pimp, in quotation marks, it starts to become, oh, I see now. Okay, that makes more sense there. So had he actually investigated without his preset idea about what the evidence was, he might have actually came to the same conclusion. He even had T-shirts made for a catchphrase that he had off of it. And the thing that he was doing it for was really something that if after the fact he would have felt really guilty about, because why those women were meeting in the park. So I mean, who meets to have an escort meeting at the park and you start praying for more tricks? He created a dialogue for most of the stuff that he wasn't present for. So the story is already askew a little bit. He does have a book that he name drops several times. So if you watch the show, you will definitely see a quick little mention of the book. Apparently the book is closer to reality than what the special is, because he had to create most of the dialogue that was there for anyone that he wasn't present for. So at the end, it started to feel like it was like an indictment on him a little bit. And the first part, you were like, how is no one investigating this? Why is everyone just taking him at his word? I mean, he's good enough lead. I mean, definitely doesn't feel like he's an actor per se. Some scenes look like he's more polished than others. Some look like he has no idea what he's doing. But that could also be him acting like he doesn't know what he's doing, because some scenes he's really good in. But the overall takeaway is, it's definitely a fun watch. I don't think I'd be able to watch it again. I think I would pick which episodes I watch, because some are the ones that are more in the beginning, and like two in the beginning, two in the end. I think the middle two are kind of a little bit. That's just me. You watch all six and then you can tell me what, if you agree with me or not. You know, I like listening to other opinions, so have at it. But I will say that I love the fourth wall break, where you were seeing him just talking about the situation with the actors, and then the next minute they actually start doing the thing, and then that stuff happens a lot. So that part of it is what would really make me watch it again, just because of how I like to make movies. So seeing what the camera's catching, and then seeing immediately afterwards the actual area of what's happening in the scene, is kind of fun. definitely more enjoyable than I thought it was. If it had this been played it straight and it was someone else playing the role and this was happening, I don't think it would be as engaging. I don't think it would have been as fun to watch. The way they did it, I think, was the best way to do it, because the story is pretty thin and requires the audience to think that the dude is an idiot. And us seeing it this way, I think, puts him in the best light, because he says he makes up all this stuff. He has to connect all these things together and make sure it all fits together in one cohesive whole, and that the overall changes that he's made don't affect the actual story itself. But at the end, we find out that that is not the case. And in this, if the guy who plays Rocco, the person that is Rocco, who's based off him, is true, then everything he saw was completely misconstrued. Even the private investigator said the same thing, that he kind of was only taking what he wanted. And you see this as it goes on. It's not withheld from you. You kind of get his mindset. You see what he's doing. You see how his A leads to B leads to C. And you see his resistance at listening to anybody else's idea about what could happen. So that is my quick thoughts on Paul T. Goldman. It's based on a true story. It's on Peacock. 6 episodes. It's not that long of a watch, so maybe it's like a half of a day. I watched it in, I think, 3 days. I watched 2, and then 2, and then 2. But you could easily just binge straight through it. Because it's pretty much, the stuff is all repeated, so the dialogue from one episode to the next isn't going to be massively additive. It's just how the characters are responding to it through the actors, through the actual people, through him, his relationship with his son, his first wife, and his second wife. There's even a bit part in it where the person playing his first wife is talking to him about how the date went with his first wife or whatever, and the annulment of that marriage, and because of what she did, and the actress kind of said, hey, maybe this was the case. You were thinking like this, and she was thinking like that, and you misconstrued what that was. And you'll understand what I'm talking about when and if you watch it. And he even says, like, wow, if I had known that, then I might have been different this whole time. But to sum it all up into one nice little bow, I would give this a 7, just because of the way that it was filmed, how it was acted, and the way that they put it together, and all the different stuff that you were able to glean from each thing. And it was kind of like a whodunit, but you having to trace through it with the actors and the people. Like, there was one scene where the girl playing the trailer park's main person, she was like, she just told you what lot number this was at. He's like, yeah. He's like, he just broke everything. And she's like, yeah, sure did. And she was not buying that. But they played it like that for the scene, but you got the idea that not a lot of people were believing what he was saying, and that's what got me going. Why isn't anyone like fact checking instead? But they do a lot in the last part. If anything, they ambush him and let him watch a video shot by someone that kind of goes line by line of all the different bits and pieces of evidence that he collected. Evidence being in quotation marks. And he kind of explains it all away with things that are easily verifiable if they were to look into it. But that is going to conclude my podcast on the 6 episode first season, I guess, of Paul T. Goldman. Thanks for listening.